Through our passage today, I pray that we'll be swept away by Jesus' aroma. But before we see the beauty of Jesus, I want us to first notice the backdrop to the beauty of Jesus is very dark and evil. To notice the backdrop is important because we know, both in our lives and in our world, this world can also be very dark and evil. And living in such world, it is so easy to get swept away into the evil ways, which is why seeing who and how Jesus acts will become the reason for our hope and therefore strength in our lives. So allow me to briefly describe the backdrop by pointing out for us the heart, the intention, the acts, and the words of the leaders and of the people. In Mark chapter 14, verse 1, it begins like this. Now the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread were only 2 days away. Let's stop there. Only 2 days away from what, we ask? See, this was the time of the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread, which means it was time to remember God's most gracious saving act for his people. Remember Egypt. God passed over his people while destroying their enemies. So were the people therefore thinking how to bless one another? After all, these festivals were meant to remember God's most gracious acts for them. See, as we continue to read God's word, we discovered a very different mood. Let me take you once again to Mark chapter 14. Verse 1, and then we'll jump to verse 4 and 5. Now the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. Jumping to verse 4. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly, he says. I underline in those scriptures the words that describe the mood, I think. What are those words? Scheming, arrest, secretly, kill, indignantly, waste, rebuke. And the last word, harshly. Now, why were these people uttering such strong and disapproving thoughts and words? Did you know their disapproval was actually about something really good? Their harsh rebuke of the woman was actually about her beautiful deed to prepare for Jesus' burial. Brothers and sisters, can I offer a warning to us all? Please, and I am included in that please, be careful. You see, when we dislike someone or something, many of us can actually do and say some ugly things, don't we? To give evil or to receive one, it's a terrible thing, isn't it? So from such dark and evil background, right, the backdrop, I want us to see 3 ways Jesus' aroma fills and ministers to the hearts of the people, which I pray, of course, it includes all of our hearts as well. I want us to see how amazing Jesus is. Yeah? How amazing he is. See, we want to notice in the midst of hatred and indignation, Jesus, while everybody around him with indignation and hatred attacking one another, and yet Jesus does not and did not join the ugliness around him. Rather, he displayed his grace. Let me take you to chapter 14, verse 6. Listen to what he says. "Leave her alone," says Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing." to me. You see, we humans have a sheep mentality, don't we? Therefore, it seems natural for us to get easily swayed by the atmosphere that surrounds us. And too often, it is an evil atmosphere that sweeps us, doesn't it? Remember the people in the Gospel of John, chapter 8? They came early in the morning. Where? To the temple. Why? To listen and be blessed by Jesus' teaching. Yet as soon as some of the Jewish leaders brought a woman caught in adultery, they were swept away by the ugly condemnations the leaders had hoped for. So what was this new atmosphere? You see, these people were on the verge of turning a Bible study with Jesus into a time to stone a woman to death. Did you hear? A Bible study was about to turn into a death sentence. When the people were paying attention to the Jewish leaders, what happened? They saw the sin of this adulterous, sinful woman. However, when they paid attention to the words of Christ, in John chapter 8, verse 7, Jesus told them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Hearing the words of Christ, they began to see something different. They began to see their own sins. They could no longer condemn that wicked woman because they knew they too, no, actually they deserve such condemnation. Similarly, in our passage, Jesus helped the people see what they were doing was wrong. In fact, he wanted them to see what a beautiful thing she was really doing, actually. So did you see? While the Jewish leaders and people were turning a celebration of God's goodness into an arena of hatred and evil, Jesus wanted them to see a beautiful thing. How awesome it will be if we're not easily swept by the ugliness of life around us. Rather, begin to point out to them how beautiful Jesus can turn things around. That's who Jesus is. He displays grace when ugliness surrounds us. That's how amazing Jesus is. Have you met him? Are your ways and words like the aroma of Christ? Secondly, the aroma of Christ exudes to us how? Because you see, we see Jesus as the defender of the weak. In Mark chapter 14, verse 6 through 9, let me read this portion. He reads, "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you would always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. "She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done would also be told in memory of her." See, life for the weak people was always difficult and unfair, then and now. Here she was, lovingly and generously pouring her great treasure in order to bless her Lord. But for her goodness, instead of compliments, she received a harsh rebuke. But did you see what happened in our passage? She did not need to defend for herself. Why? Because she has someone else protecting her. Again, Mark chapter 14, verse 6. This is what Christ says. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why? Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." And he goes a step further. Not only leave her alone, he He says, but she has done a beautiful thing. Jesus not only defends her, but he exalts her, doesn't he? Did you know? That is how Jesus is to all of his people. He not only defends us in our weakness, but he exalts his people. He not only protects us, but he causes us to thrive. He not only provides for our needs, but he provides us exceedingly abundantly. He not only walks with us, but he carries us when we are not able to walk on our own. He not only hears us when we pray, but he never drops any of our petitions. He actually prays for us more than we pray for ourselves, for his prayer for us is unceasing. See, our God does not only defend the weak, but he makes the weak strong in him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul is making this humbled and amazing confession. He says, but he, referring to our Savior, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. See, our God makes us perfect in our weakness. That's the God. He presents himself to this woman, and he presents himself to us. So I say and I ask you, my dear friends, are we an aroma of Christ to the people who are weak, to the people who are hurting? Are we okay to merely drink off his fountain without being able to overflow that fountain to others? An aroma of Christ overflows with his grace to others, doesn't it? Thirdly and lastly, Jesus knew he came to lay down his life. All of our lives are about taking steps to better our living, but for Jesus, his life was about preparing to die well, for he was born to be crucified. See, when this woman poured her very expensive perfume on Jesus, it was one of the final steps to prepare for his death, which is what made her action so beautiful in his eyes. While the people of the world lived for success, you know what he did? He gladly failed, ladies and gentlemen, gladly, and laid down his life. While the people lived for the temporary satisfaction, he willingly laid down his life so that we will receive an eternal inheritance. While the people in the world want to grab, amass, possess, invest, and save more in our banks, he calls us to live generously and give our treasures to others because he came to give us his most precious and generous gift, his life and his kingdom. See, seeing our lives from Jesus' perspective gives us a whole different view. While the people were scheming to kill him, did you know Jesus already actually offered his life to die for those who hated him, for sinners, not only like them, but like you and I? Let me close this message. Today, this coming Thursday, we celebrate Thanksgiving. What is your reason for your Thanksgiving? I pray that our lives will be filled with thanksgiving because the aroma of Christ will sweep us away to put away the mood of the world and to lovingly adopt Christ's reason for his living. That is, we too would delight to live for the Father's glory and his kingdom first. Father, we know it is easy to preach such words because they are words. But when they begin to capture us, when we begin to submit, surrender, to be molded and shaped according to your truth, oh, Heavenly Father, how we desire we can be captured by your truth. So that, Lord, it will no longer be us living our lives the way we desire, but, Lord, humbly and thankfully and lovingly, surrendering ourselves so completely to you, so that, Lord, no longer my goodness, but only the aroma of Christ would overflow to our family, in our church, and with everyone we meet, so that, Lord, clearly everyone around us can confess, Christ is your Savior. You follow and you display his heart. Amen.